And let me tell you, that was an experience and a half, because I've never had to wrestle
big
in
fatty.
Something like that. Some fucking big thing. They were like, can you wrestle it? I'm not kidding, I had to try and mount
big fatty
at an audition while waving an American flag or something. I don't even remember what it was. It was the most inappropriate audition I've ever been to, because it required me to ride
big fatty
and be patriotic, but patriotic in that Star Spangled Banner kind of way. It was an absolute fucking farce, I'm not gonna lie. There was sawdust on the floor, there was a
big fatty,
and I... Would it be a
big fatty?
I don't even know what it was, quite frankly. It was a big fucking turkey with a long neck, and it scared the living shit out of me. You know they always say don't work with children or animals? I don't say that, I just say don't work with
big fatty.
Can you someone write in, please, and tell me what the hell that
big fatty
is in the Dolly Parton Dixie Stampede show in Orlando? It's now subsequently closed. I wonder if
big fatty
is still there. I wonder what happened to it. What happens to
big fatties
when Orlando attractions close down?
It's not just ruined, it's me, Big Fatty, online!
Well, hello everyone, it is the Fat One, and this is episode 166 of the BFO for Friday, the 19th of September, 2008. Coming up on today's show, I have got a couple of podcaster reviews of the Biloxi Blues for you, and, you know, I'm sure I'm just going to fart around the rest of the time. Was fart around the right term? Oh, Lord. Well, y'all, I hope your Friday is going well, and today, Big Fatty is going to play you the verbal reviews of the Biloxi Blues as given by all the different podcasters that were here over the weekend. Except for the cum dumpster, because he hasn't posted a show since he was here last weekend. Thanks, Ryan Starr Jones, Heidi Fleiss, cum dumpster. Because, you know, I know it's not Jason's fault, because Jason does not use the computras, nor the banjo band. So, what we're going to do is we are going to start off today with the comments that came in from Ron Pratasoho and the patron saint of the BFO, Tim Cormall, over there at Tim Call an Ambulance.
We barely made it to the theater, and we did watch the Biloxi Blues. Now, what did you think of the Biloxi Blues, Ryan?
It was a marvelous production.
It was a marvelous production.
And they're very attractive boys and they're boxers. In fact, one, it was just really, really straining to get out.
It
tried in the damnedest way to pop out, and everybody was waiting.
And we were all waiting, and, you know, Miss Star Jones was sitting there with her, like, binoculars.
She was fanning herself.
Oh, girl, I mean, I've seen a few things, but whew, I thought she was going to come out of her seat.
Yes, sir. Or so, come in her seat.
Come in her seat, more like. Yeah, that's about it. Hello. So
her seat would have been the cum dumpster.
Oh, honey.
No, no.
Well, thank you so much, Tim and Ron, and I think they really enjoyed themselves, or at least it sounded like it, or they're actually very good actors and lie very well. So, y'all, also in attendance at the show was Daniel Brewer and his other half, who we will refer to as, how about Larry?
As was mentioned previously on this very show, Robert and I went to Charleston, South Carolina this past weekend in order to see Biloxi Blues.
Charleston!
By the Footlight Players, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Which was directed by the Fat One, by Big Fatty himself.
Oh, I didn't realize that when you talked about it previously.
Yes, and that was the whole point of the trip. Because I had two objectives. Number one was to meet Big Fatty, finally. And the other one was to see the play. Now, I don't know for a fact, because I never asked, as to whether the Footlight Players or whatever is a community theater organization.
Well,
or
this
whether
is a bunch of guys who are lighting their loafers.
Oh, no. Or whether it's a semi-professional. I don't know. I mean, like here in South Carolina, like here in Columbia, we have the Trust Us, which is not a community theater. I mean, the actors actually get paid. So, whereas community theater is usually volunteer. So I didn't really ask. But the point that I'm trying to make is that I have watched a lot of community theater and have been involved in a lot of community theater in my past. And I was highly impressed with what they did. The show itself, I mean, Biloxi Blues, if you're not familiar with it, it's a Neil Simon play. Guy
is Matthew Broderick there?
Yes, Matthew Broderick was there. Although the main character did kind of look a little like Matthew. Not like, you know, somebody that you would mistake for him, but I mean, there were similarities.
Mm-hmm.
It was very well done. But the thing that impressed me most was the stage. The stage itself, this building, I believe Big Fatty had said at one point, was an old cotton warehouse. That had been converted into a theater. And the stage itself is not huge, but the set that they built was just absolutely amazing. After the play, Big Fatty took us up on stage and let us see all the set. Just absolutely amazing. Everything on the stage had like three different purposes, and then they were on wheels and it would spin around at different points, and then it had folding, like instead of it being a straight wall, it would be hinged so that you could fold the walls, and then it was a different color wall. You know, so between the scenes, when they were playing Memory Lane music, people would come out and flip walls and turn things around, and then it would be a different set.
Oh, so the stage was a transformer.
Yes, exactly. The stage was
that's
indeed
how I can understand it.
A robot in disguise. Mm-hmm. But no, the stage was absolutely amazing. And on Big Fatty's show, I have not listened to today's show, which today is Wednesday. So I did listen to Monday and Tuesdays. And so the second review, the one that he read on Tuesday's show, I tend to agree with that reviewer on most of the things he said. The main guy was really good. I don't think he was upstaged by the Epstein character. I'm sorry, if you didn't hear the review on Big Fatty's show, then this makes no sense to you. But I will agree that the person that played Sergeant Toomey did not come across as a hard-ass sergeant. He came across as a community theater actor reading lines.
Aww.
And that was probably the only down point. And it wasn't even that big of a down point. And if you know the story behind it, which is somebody else had played Sergeant Toomey and they like backed out at the last minute, and this was like the second or third person who had stepped into that part at very last minute, you can certainly overlook those things. So I thought it was a great play. Kudos, Big Fatty. It was a great play. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Robert and I were on the front row, which is in this theater, pretty much put us at eye level with the floor of the stage. So when they would drop down and do push-ups in their boxers, it was quite a sight. So it was a very good play. And
I'm sure it was.
It was. Boys in their boxers and occasionally shirtless. It was a very good play. And the lady that played the prostitute was so inappropriately cast that it was hilarious. So there's just no way that this 19-year-old
it would have been better if they had a Muppet.
She might have been a Muppet.
Oh, really?
She was that much of a caricature.
I could get the one from Avenue Q.
But her amazing acting and her gregarious nature overcame any kind of mistyped body image.
Well, thank you so much, Daniel. Such an in-depth review. It was much better than the reviews of that were in the paper and all. And y'all, in answer to some of I meant Daniel Brewer. Oh my God, I feel like such white trash. Thank you so much, Daniel Brewer. And some of the questions that Daniel Brewer brought up. I don't know. Brought up. Oh, I'm retarded. Some of the questions that he brought up, I will answer. The football players is the is community theater. The actors do not get paid. And the Sergeant Toomey that we had in the show was the third person to fill that role. So we were very fortunate to have him be able to step in. And it's a very difficult part, especially when you're weeks behind in rehearsal behind everyone else. So, and yes, the staging on this show I think is a terrific thing also, and the technical director down there, the football players, he's just amazing. He's in his 20th year there, and we are just very, very, very lucky to have him and his artistic abilities. All right, y'all. Well, like I said, the Cum Dumpster has not hosted a show, but the QCast Connection and the Super B did post a review of the Biloxi Blues, and here it is.
How was the Biloxi Blues?
Big Fatty, please forgive me. I hate Neil Simon. He was a drag queen. Hate him. Big Fatty looked like Rue McClanahan.
Oh.
Big Fatty looked like a stump with legs.
Oh.
Big Fatty was very boxy and square in the torso and had these skinny little legs. Unless you were there, I guess a lot of this isn't funny, but...
It's okay. Yeah, how are the shirtless actors in the Biloxi Blues?
Everybody was fawning over the chiseled guy.
Yeah, well, why not?
Big Fatty, please forgive me. Hate him, hate him, hate him. But we had no packages falling out, apparently.
Which is sad.
Yeah, nothing came out of the underwear or anything like that.
Damn.
It gets under my craw. We couldn't see it, but there was obviously a Big Fatty crotch shot waiting to happen, which forced Larry Clyde down into his seat going, oh, no, 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 no. But overall, it was the vanilla ice cream of theater. They have a great space, but...
Yes, we know how you feel about the Biloxi Blues.
This is not artistic. This is dumb.
Kevin did not have a good time.
No. So okay. Anyway, good job, Big Fatty.
Well, I'm sorry I missed it. It sounds like a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I wish I was there.
A lot of fun was had.
We'll meet again some sunny day.
Well, thank you so much, Super B. I can't tell you... Really, I really can't tell you how I feel about that review, but at least I will say at least you were honest, and I believe every word you said. And we are having, I'm recording this early Thursday evening before I go to the theater, because, you know, I'm back in theater mode again, and so we have Military Area Appreciation Night, hopefully there'll be some military menses there to appreciate, and then Friday night and Saturday night performances, and then Big Fatty will be off again until next Thursday, and then that'll be our closing weekend. We'll have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we close out with a Sunday matinee, but we'll have more about that as next week progresses. Y'all... I think that we need to get into some... Wait a minute. What is this on my list? What does that say? Oh! Yeah, I'll talk about that later. I think we need to get into some mystery... Oh, dear God. Memory lane music. Y'all, I feel like when I play this one today, I'm just not even challenging you anymore. The Memory Lane music just isn't challenging. In fact, the most challenging part of this Memory Lane music is avoiding the footstool. Well, y'all, I hope you recognize the theme to the Dick Van Dyke Show, which was a situation comedy which initially aired on CBS from October 3rd, 1961 to June 1st, 1966. The show was created by Carl Reiner and starred Dick Van Dyke, imagine that, and Mary Tyler Moore. Reiner had, in fact, starred in the original unsuccessful pilot episode, Head of the Family. This was seen on Nick at Night service of the Nickelodeon cable channel shortly after the series' success itself was added to its schedule in the 1990s. After its rejection, Sheldon Leonard took an interest and helped Reiner revive the project, convincing him to recast and switch to the three-camera studio audience production format. Totaling 158 episodes and 5 seasons, the show was also produced by Reiner, who wrote many of the episodes and played the role of... Do you remember the role he played? Alan Brady, Alan Brady, Alan Brady, Alan Brady. Okay, never mind. Reiner based the main character on himself and the Brady character on his former boss, Sid Caesar. Many of the show's plots were inspired by Reiner's experiences as a writer for Your Show of Show and the Dick Van Dyke Show, won 15 Emmy Awards. Now, y'all, also on that show was Rose Marie, who is probably more famous known as the middle, top row middle square on the original Hollywood Squares, Maury Amsterdam. Do you remember who played the little boy on the show? Larry Matthews. Larry. And then Richard Deacon, Jerry Parrish, and Anne Morgan Gilbert were other recurring characters in the show. So that's the Dick Van Dyke Show. Now, y'all, I have received an e-letter, and it's probably the most unique e-letter that Big Fatty has ever received. And I guess it's okay to read this. Y'all, and I won't say who this is, but Big Fatty received an e-letter from a priest. And he says, just wanted you to know I'm listening and that I really like your show. I enjoy the daily quiz and the other great fat stuff you talk about each day. Believe it or not, I'm not gay and I'm actually a pastor, though there are many gay pastors in the denomination he's affiliated with. Anyway, he says the big difference in his denomination and others is that many denominations would say they love Big Fatty but would hate who and what Big Fatty does, but his denomination believes that gay is good and just another way people are put together. So keep on being fat and me. Well, thank you, Father Me. I think I'll just call him Father Me. And y'all, I just found that just kind of made my night. You know, there's a straight... Hey, straight Bob, you're not the only straight man that listens to Big Fatty and enjoys it. There's a priest that listens... Oh, wait a minute. Let's not get into that whole Catholicism, Catholic... Oh, dear Gussie. But I did write back to priest or Father Me, Pastor Me, and I said, well, I guess the opening of each show when Big Fatty goes, oh, Lord, has taken on new meaning. So anyway, thank you, Pastor Me. And you just keep on listening to Big Fatty. And if it gets to be too much, then I'll give you Straight Bob's address and... Y'all can try to figure out why the fuck two straight men like to listen to Big Fatty. But I think there are other straight men out there that listen also. Hey, if you're a straight man and you listen to Big Fatty, listen to this. Please remove your pants and, well, no, that's taking advantage of a fat situation. Y'all have a great weekend. Big Fatty will be back here on Monday. Bye-bye.
You can leave a comment on the website at BigFattyOnline.com, and you don't have to use the www, or drop me an e-letter at ruined@BigFattyOnline.com, or call the voice letter number at 206-337-1438. That's 206-337-1438. 1438 and give me your good gosh and gay. Me! This has been a presentation of the RNL Podcasting Network.